Welcome back, everyone, to the Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. If you have any questions you would like addressed on future programs, send me off an email at questions@remnantofgod.org. Or you can just go to the main site and click the Contact Us link on the main page. It's up on the right-hand corner. If you like copies of today's program, click the Antique Radios on the main page of the website and serve to the archives from that page. Or you can simply go to the audio section of the main menu and click the archives link directly from there. You can listen online to past programs, download MP3s. You can order CDs to the program from there. And in fact, you can now get the entire 2004 season of the Truth Provided radio broadcast on CD, on one CD. It's an MP3 format, of course. And with today's technology, more and more CD players are allowing you to use MP3. So that's a nice thing to have. So well, let's get back to what we were talking about before the break. I read an article in regards to where the clergy in the Church of England that denied doctrines, key doctrines, if you will end up in a tribunal facing trial for heresy. Does this not sound like Rome? And did you notice they seem to bring up the burning at the stake issue as something they do not condone, yet they bring it up more than once in the article? They do so because it's something that needs to be mentioned as a possibility in the future. It'll, of course, be used as a scare tactic and, in some cases, as a reality. In fact, Muslims have already been known to burn people alive in the Middle East, in today's world. So, far-fetched again, you might say. Would you have said it was far-fetched for the United States of America to be torturing people if someone suggested such a thing 3 or 4 years ago? Or would it be too far-fetched if someone told you a few months ago that the United States of America would fund experiments on how to torture Christians to see how best to combat God's ability to help his followers? Truth is, both of these scenarios are happening right now. We already know about the USA torturing Iraqis in military concentration camps, but were you aware of this? Headline, research at Oxford really is torture. Now I'm not going to go into reading this entire article again because I already shared it on a January 23rd broadcast, but let me just hit a couple of high points. It said in the article that, this article was from the Times London, January 13th, 2005. It said, people are to be tortured in laboratories at Oxford University in a U.S.-funded experiment to determine if belief in God is effective in revealing pain. Top neurologists, pharmacologists, anatomists, and ethicists and theologians are to examine the scientific basis of religious belief and whether it is anything more than a placebo. Researchers believe the study will provide insights into the war on terrorism. A central aspect of the two-year study, which has United States funding of $2.65 million from the U.S. philanthropic group, the John Templeton Foundation, will involve dozens of people being subjected to painful experiments in laboratory conditions. While enduring the agony, they will be exposed to religious symbols such as the images of Mary, the Virgin Mary, or a crucifix. Their neurological responses will then be measured to determine the efficiency of their faith or the efficacy of their faith in helping them to cope. The aim is to develop new and practical approaches for, now get this, promoting well-being and ultimately maximizing individual human potential. Okay? That's just an excuse, of course. But in the article, it also stated that while enduring the agony, they will be exposed to religious symbols, such as the images of the Virgin Mary or a crucifix. Truth is, people, those are Roman Catholic images. This is not something that Christians considered holy. It was also stated in the article that a better understanding of the physiology of belief, the conditions that entrench in the mind, that its usefulness in mitigating pain could be crucial to developing counter-terrorist strategies for the future. Of course, I'll have this article in my next newsletter. Did you catch that, though? It's easy to miss, so I'll try to explain. 1 minute, they are speaking of using torture on Christian people so as to see if they have any problems torturing them in the future. Then they want to see if they're, of course, the main reason being is to see if God will help them. Then the next minute, They admit it will be used on what they define as terrorists. So what I get out of this is they're putting it, the whole ball of wax is more or less saying they're looking for Christian terrorists to use this on. I mean, why else? I mean, why else would they be doing it? One other thing I did appreciate here is the sheer stupidity of the powers that be. Besides the fact that we as remnant Christians know that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, we know that a crucifix or a statue of Mary is in no way something we would consider holy or godly in any way, shape, or form. So I ask, do they actually think God Almighty is going to play along with their ridiculous plans? I mean, do they think God's a puppet? Do they actually think they can sneak people under his nose and inflict torture on them and then get them to ask God for help and then see if he actually does it? As if God didn't see them walking into the lab in the first place. I mean, a true Christian would never put the Lord thy God to a foolish test in the first place, and most assuredly, they would never help teach an evil government on how to get around the true God. As if that was possible to do anyway. The people they're bringing in those labs aren't Christians. Christians simply don't do that. They don't allow themselves to be put in a position such as this. They might bring Christians in unwillingly. Well, that's a no-brainer. But if they're going in willfully, and especially if they're using Roman Catholic icons, then the fact of the matter is they're bringing Catholics into these labs. You know something I thought was rather strange here? That's why I thought to repeat this article this week, on top of the fact that it does coincide with everything else that we're talking about here, is this is being done in England. This is the same country that said in the previous article that I shared that they seek to have trials for people committing heresy. Both places to be done. I mean, first they're talking about trials and tribunals for people that are committing heresy, and the next thing is in England, they're testing torture on Christians. I mean, will they use torture as a sentence for those convicted, or will they use torture to get them to admit heresy as Rome did in the past? Okay. Now, do you understand why I pointed out the very fact that they mentioned burning people at the stake twice in that article, as if it was a bad thing? Yet, as they spoke those words in that article, how many people were being tortured on their own soil in those U.S.-funded experiments at Oxford University? I mean, the university has admitted to using burning sensations as a way to test for torture. If they're not planning on using fire, then why are they testing fire-like chemicals on skin to see how the people react? I mean, the fact that they mentioned burning at the stake, I do not believe is a mistake. It is not a mistake anymore. I mean, by the way, do you believe it to be too far-fetched to say some people would seek to burn Christians at the stake in today's modern society? I mean, come on, they said, no, it's not nice to do that in the article, right? Well, were you aware that there is an online conversation between a Roman Catholic priest and some other people regarding the benefits of burning people at the stake today? It first appeared on EWTN, their Roman Catholic mainstream website for Eternal World Television Network, or Eternal Word, but it's really World, the way they do it. But this happened back in May of 2002. I have a copy of it on my Evils of EWTM page on the website. It seems nothing is too far-fetched for Rome, even for today. Is it not prophesied the wound will be totally healed and Rome will start its hellish killings again? Yes, it is. With all that said, is the agenda for Sunday law pushed forward since John Paul II demanded civil laws for the same back in 1998. Headline. Italian political dispute over Sunday Sabbath. This comes right out of the Vatican. Vatican City, December 19th, CW News. It says, I just got a couple excerpts out of the article. It says this. It says, Italian religious and political leaders have been caught up in a heated debate about the observance of the Sabbath. The European Union has set up the policy that every member state must have one day of rest during the week. Under the European policy, Italy will again be required to fix a certain day of rest. In an interview with the Daily Corriere della Sera, Bishop Giancarlo Bergantini, who heads a committee dealing with social issues for the Italian Bishops' Conference, remarked that attitudes on the observance of the Sabbath are already bad enough without a change in the national policy. He said that any move away from the Sunday rest would be a perverse act, and Cardinal Pio Laghi, the former prefect of the Congregation for Catholic Education, asked La Repubblica, how can you overlook the fact that Sunday is a special day for millions of Europeans? Now, If you have been watching the One World Government agenda the last few years, you would have realized that they are testing all the laws of Antichrist on the people residing in the European continent. The One World Currency, for example, the Euro dollar, was invented, tested, and approved there. The global passport has been invented, tested, and approved there. The One World Court System, the Roman International Criminal Court it's called, has been invented, tested, and approved there. Even the Roman Catholic Church, the United Religions Initiative, has been tested as a global church and most assuredly approved there. And now we see debates on the Roman Sabbath being written into the fabric of the law so as to bring about testing upon the people in this prophetic area as well. And like all the other demonic inventions, this one definitely will be approved and written into law there. Now, back in 1962, under the instruction of the America's first Roman Catholic president, John F. Kennedy, we saw the blue laws, or Sunday laws, come to life in the USA. The Lamb-horned beast is doing just as the Lord said he would. Yes, the laws are not enforced as of yet, unless, of course, you live in Rhode Island as of January 1st, 1999, or Virginia as of July of 2004. And now we see that Italy, the true home of Antichrist's Vatican, is embracing Sunday as their suggested day of rest. You know, some of these events make it all too clear that the Papists are attempting to schmooze the world to their own agenda once again. They have the European Union literally eating out of their hand. This is most definitely the graphic emergence of the New World Order and the government of the Antichrist. Rome ruled this continent before the fall. And now that's pagan Rome. Ruled this government, this continent before the fall, and now papal Rome will rule all the world, in fact, not just this continent, but all the world. Now, what I'm about to share with you, and I hope I get through it all because I've only got a few minutes left in the broadcast, this is serious. This is not a hoax, what I'm about to share. This is something that those of us that understand prophecy are very aware is factual. This has been around since September of 2003. This has been around a lot longer, but I did a truth-provided audio clip about this back in September of 2003. It's called it's codenamed on the government Operation Garden Plot. And the reason I'm sharing it now because it coincides with everything we're talking about here. The official title of this document is the United States Civil Disturbance Plan 55-2. And now, I did not compile this information. However, I do have a few links. In my next newsletter, they'll be underneath this article I'm about to share. So if you want to go and check this out to research it to your heart's desire, go for it. Or go to the Truth Provided audio clip now on my website in the audio section and go to the September 2003 area. And you'll see when you click the link to play the audio clip, underneath the audio clip as you're listening, there's a bunch of links you can go to and to verify this. Okay? And I hope you're sitting down. The following information was obtained under the Freedom of Information Act. The original printing was of June 1st, 1984. The information herein is unclassified and does not come within the scope of directions governing the protection of information affecting the national security. It took a little while, more than 3 years, to obtain a full copy of the Operation Garden Plot from the U.S. government and was done so under the Freedom of Information Act for unclassified documents. The implications within the full context of this document should make the hair on the back of your head stand on end. Okay, this leads into this documentation, all these words that I don't remember the link. It's on the bottom of this, but this you can get on the internet. This is valid. All right. In this document signed by the Secretary of the Army is hereby assigned as DOD Executive or Department of Defense Executive Agent for Civil Disturbance Control Operations under Plan 55-2. He is to use aircraft and logistical support in assisting appropriate military commanders in the 50 states. Remember the Constitution not to use military against the, you know, Americans? Well, forget that now. Okay, so it says, in assisting appropriate military commanders in the 50 states, District of Columbia, and Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, and U.S. possessions and territories, or any political subdivision thereof. The official name of this project is called Operation Garden Plot. Under this plan, now listen to this, under this plan of the for the deployment of the Operation Garden Plot, the use of CIDCON-1 will be the mandatory. This direct support of civil disturbance control operations is to be used by the Army, U.S. Air Force, Navy, and Marine Corps, with an airlift force to be comprised of MAC organic airlift resources, airlift-capable aircraft of all United States Air Force major commands, and all other aerial reconnaissance and airborne psychological operations. This is to include control communication systems, aeromedical evacuation, helicopter, and weather support systems. If any civil disturbance by a resistance group, religious organization, or other persons considered to be nonconformist takes place under Appendix 3 to Annex B of Plan 55-2, hereby gives all federal forces total power over the situation if local and state authorities cannot put down said dissenters. In other words, if your local cops can't handle the problem you're generating, they're going to call in the military. Continuing, it says, Annex A, Section B of Operation Garden Plot defines tax protesters, militia groups, religious cults, and general anti-government dissenters as disruptive elements. This calls for the deadly force to be used against any extremist or dissident perpetrating in any and all forms of civil disorder. I'm curious as to how they define a religious cult. I mean, are we going to, the only way they can define a religious cult is to have a United States America church that goes against what they say it is, because a government can't define religious aspects, I would think. They're not a church. How can they do that? Well, once they become the image of the beast, the church and state mixed together, then you'll have the ability for them to say, you're a cult. Okay? Now, it also states in this government document that this plan, 55-2, also provides for America's military and National Guard state partnership program to join with the United Nations personnel in said operations. This links selected U.S. National Guard units with the defense ministries of partnerships for peace. There's that peace and safety thing again. This was done in an effort to provide military support to civil authorities in response to civil emergencies. Again, if your cops can't handle what you're doing, they're going to send in the military. Now, under Presidential Decision Directive Number 25, this program serves to cement people to relationships between the citizens of the United States and the global military of the United Nations establishments of the emerging democracies of the Central and Eastern European countries. Gee, who would have thought that would have come up? This puts all of our National Guardsmen under the direct jurisdiction of the United Nations. Okay, Section 3. This plan could be implemented under any of the following situations. Paragraph 1. Spontaneous civil disturbances which involve large numbers of persons and or which continue for a considerable period of time may exceed the capacity of local civil law enforcement agencies to suppress. Sorry, I just bumped into the mic. Okay, continuing. Although this type of activity can arise without warning as a result of sudden and unanticipated popular unrest, and they have in parentheses past riots, it may also result from more prolonged dissidence. This would most likely be an outgrowth of serious social, political, or economic issues, which means they're planning something. Continuing, it says, which divide segments of the American population. Such factionalism could manifest itself through repeated demonstrations, protest marches, and other forms of legitimate opposition, but which would have the potential for erupting into spontaneous violence with little or no warning. In other words, if you've got a big enough amount of people that are totally against what the government is doing, and you even have a peaceful protest, if it's too many people, and if they feel, because there's so many people, that this could possibly go into a riot, well, they're going to call in the military. Guaranteed, people. No more being able to protest. Finishing up, it says, paragraph 2 says, planned acts of violence or civil disobedience, which, through arising from the same causes as number one listed above, are seized upon by a dedicated group or dissidents who plan and incite purposeful acts designed to disrupt social order. It also states in subsection B, paragraph 1, and I'll finish with this, general opposition forces or groups may attempt to gain knowledge of this plan and use that knowledge to prevent or degrade the effectiveness of the actions outlined in this plan. In order to protect operations undertaken to accomplish the mission, it is necessary to control sources of information that can be exploited by those opposition forces or groups. So, I don't know even why they put this in, the ability for the American people to get their hands on it, if they're going to already going to try to control them from getting their hands on it. But as I said earlier, copies of this information can be found all over the place on the Internet. On the newsletter, I will show four separate areas that you can pick it up from. All right, now this all, I mean, all these signs are all around us now. The beast is known and clearly identified, for it is the final days, and the man of sin has been revealed to the remnant of God. I mean, see Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. The plans of this Roman beast are also well documented in the prophetic word and now easily verified in your local newspapers and even documentations coming from your own government. It's time to get ready. If you wait until the short time of trouble to get worse, you'll never be ready. In some areas, the short time of trouble has yet to start. Do you reflect the image of Christ yet? Are you a recipient of the now falling latter rain? If not, I suggest prayer and fasting. Ask the Lord to reveal the sin in your life. Ask Him to forgive you. Then ask Him to bless you with divine wisdom and the words that cut hearts so that many will come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ that you have and understand the whole duty of man as Ecclesiastes 12:13 so perfectly portrays. The Roman Catholic Church has complete and utter control of the U.S. government just as prophecy stated it would have. The majority of Congress, the Senate, and the Supreme Court is in her camp. 174 of the 192 nations on earth are in agreement with her as well. And if they're not, guess where the next wars are going to be? The world truly does wonder after the beast, as Revelation 13:3 says. All that prophecy said about this lamb-horned beast, the United States of America, is about to be played out before the eyes of mankind. I have a page on the website in the prophecy section about what the word says about the United States. You might want to check that out when you get a chance. And everyone will soon understand that Antichrist is, in fact, running this entire operation from the halls of Rome. On March 12, 2000, Pope John Paul II admitted the popes of the past killed over 500 million Christians so as to bring life to their global governing desires. Prophecy did say that this beast would be mortally wounded exactly 1,260 years after it became a church and state. That happened. Roman Catholicism realized that conglomeration in 538 AD when Vigilius ascended the papal chair under the military protection of Belisarius, just like the Encyclopedia Britannica says and all the other books. And exactly 1,260 years later, in the exact year, 1798, we see Napoleon sending in General Berthier to remove the Pope from his civil power and stripping the Vatican of its state and church status. However, the prophecy also declared that the beast would be healed and stand again. And since the Lateran Treaty was signed in 1929, bringing the church and state power back to the Roman Catholic Church, we see this anti-Christian organization growing stronger and stronger right before our very eyes. It's only a matter of time before the Roman Catholic beast starts to roar again. And that day is not too far off. Fact is, John Paul II reinstated the Office of Inquisition in February of 1991. Common sense tells us the only reason to reopen an office that saw so many tortured and killed is because they plan on using its methods of torture again. On December 24, 1908, in the Roman Catholic publication called the Western Watchman, it states, "The Catholic Church has persecuted. When she thinks it's good to use physical force, she will use it. Will the Catholic Church give bond that she will not persecute? The Catholic Church gives no bonds for her good behavior." That's what they call good behavior, killing Christians. Are you truly ready to stand before the hordes of Rome and declare the law of God supreme over the laws of Rome? Are you ready to be killed for that declaration? Will you stand firm in the faith? If you're not sure, it is, again, time to pray and fast right now, while it's still fairly easy or legal to do so. Or will you side with Rome so as to spare your life? Mark 8:35 says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's shall save it." So, that's about it for this week, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this broadcast. Please try to catch us again next week. And for those that can't, you can also go to www.remnantofgod.org and click the Antique Radios on the main page. That will bring you to the archives of this program. You can listen online, download MP3s, or order CDs to the program so that you can give them out to your friends. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministries saying, until next time, I pray the Lord blesses you and yours with the desire to be the Christian He created you to be. Thank you for listening. And remember, the truth is provided in the Word of God. God bless.